Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
And so we started last week talking about the different pieces of armor that God gives us, and we talked about the belt of truth, how we have truth, but it's not just enough to know the truth. We have to apply it to our life, and we have to put it on. We have the truth of the Word of God, but we have to use that in our life. We have to apply it in our life if we're going to stand against the spiritual battles that come. This morning, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness, and we're going to talk about how important that is for us to be covered by the righteousness of Christ in our life, and what it looks like to live with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read some verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be starting at verse 10. And these are the passage of scripture about the armor of God, the spiritual battle that we're in. And I reread this passage so that we, as we talk about each piece of armor, so that we can remember what this passage says about the spiritual battle that we're in. So if you found your place in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. The scripture says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against his strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, or alligators and cows, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand," then verse 14 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to study your word. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, thank you that you've given us everything that we need for this spiritual battle that we're in, if we will only use it, if we'll only be prepared. And so, Father, as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I hope you've got a copy of the message notes. And last week we looked at our enemy, Satan, is the deceiver. Remember, we mentioned how in the garden he said to Eve, "Did God really say this?" And then he went on to say, "You'll surely not die if you take of that." And so they were deceived and they were tempted and they fell, and the rest is history. And this morning we're going to look at Satan as our accuser. He not only deceives us, but he also accuses us. And number one there on your message notes is Satan is the accuser who attacks your heart with accusations. Now there's a passage of scripture that I want us to turn to for a few moments from the Old Testament. It's in Zechariah chapter 3. Now to get to Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. So it's two books over from Matthew, two books to the left from Matthew. So Zechariah chapter 3. And what we see in Zechariah chapter 3 is Satan accusing Joshua. And so listen to these verses. And it is the scene of a courtroom, and God is the judge, and Jesus is our advocate, and Joshua's advocate, and we have Satan as the accuser. Listen to what happens in this heavenly courtroom as Satan is bringing his accusation against Joshua. Just Zechariah chapter 3. And Zechariah says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan," angel of the Lord referring to Jesus, "and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Remember, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. "And then the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?'" Joshua was someone that was under judgment, but he had been snatched from the fire because of the grace and mercy of God. And then in verse 3, this is what Joshua was guilty of. He says, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.'" And so Joshua was indeed guilty of being before the angel of the Lord, standing before the Lord himself, dirty. And that was wrong. Joshua knew better. And then Joshua said, "See, I have taken away your sin." Oh, I'm sorry. "Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin and will put fine garments on you.'" God is forgiving him and clothing him in righteousness and his fine garments. And then verse 5, "Then I said, 'Put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. 'This is what the Lord Almighty says.'" And this is a message for us this morning too. "If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. And so what's happening is in this courtroom in heaven is that Jesus is there as Joshua's advocate, as Joshua's there, and the accuser Satan is there, and Satan is saying, "Look at Joshua, he's unfit, he's in dirty clothes, and he's made wrong decisions." And it's true, what he was saying about Joshua was true, but the end result was not true. This accuser, because Joshua was clothed in fine garments and a new turban placed on his head because of the grace and mercy of God. And so we see this is an example of Satan being our accuser and giving us accusations. And that's exactly what he does in our life, is he reminds us of that sin from before. How can you be a follower of God when you used to live this way? How can you be a follower of God, Satan says to us, when you've made this decision, when you've gone to that website, when you've gone to that place, when you've taken this drink, when you've done all of these things? How can you be a chosen one of God? He accuses us, and we start feeling the weight of that condemnation because we know that it's true. I mean, if we were to say, is that true or not, we'd have to say yes, but that's not the whole story. God is involved. He is the accuser, and he attacks our heart with accusations. And see, this is where the armor of God comes in, where the breastplate of righteousness comes in. For a Roman soldier, it was very important, this breastplate of their armor, because it would protect their vital organs, it would protect their lungs, and it would protect mainly their heart. Because a spear or javelin or something or arrow through their heart, you're out of the fight. And so this breastplate of righteousness applied right here would keep them safe. And see, the breastplate of righteousness for us is the same way. It's a heart protector. And Satan is working to accuse us and remind us of all of the negative things that we've done and given us all of these accusations. And so we too have to apply this breastplate of righteousness. It was essential for the Roman soldier, and it's also essential for us. It protects our heart. And this righteousness that it's talking about is the righteousness of Christ. And so we have this accuser, and he is attacking our heart with accusations. But that leads us to number two on your message notes. We also have Jesus as our advocate, who protects our heart with his righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that we can apply to our life so that we can be made right with God again. So that we can have the righteousness of Christ applied to us. And it's really the gospel. It's the gospel that tells us that Jesus was born of a virgin that lived a perfect life, that had 3 years of great ministry that we read about in the gospels, and that he died on the cross to pay for our sin. But his death on the cross wasn't the end. That was where he defeated death, hell, and the grave, when he rose again and he offers us the gift of forgiveness, which we receive by faith. And when we receive that by faith, we also receive this breastplate of righteousness that we can put Christ's righteousness onto us. It's called the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's not a righteousness we have in and of ourselves. It is a righteousness we have from God through Christ. And it's something that we apply to our life. And so this imputed righteousness of God is hugely important. If you'd like, we're going to read from Romans chapter 6. And this talks about this righteousness that we have because of Christ. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 11, where it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." You see, we don't have to be a slave to sin if we have a relationship with Christ. We can put on the very nature of God in Christ in our life, the righteousness of Christ, imputed righteousness from God. But there's also an imparted righteousness that we must do. It is our responsibility to live in the righteousness that we possess. And the way that I like to think about it as we're talking about the armor of God is that I can have a breastplate in my hand, and that's the breastplate of righteousness, and that is what Christ has done for me. But if I just have it in my hand and I don't apply it to my life, then I just have the imputed. I possess it, but I'm not applying it. The imparted righteousness of Christ is when I say I'm going to take the righteousness of Christ and I'm going to apply it to my life, and now I'm going to live within that righteousness as a forgiven son or daughter of the King. The imputed and imparted righteousness of God, and both are very important. And we have to remember who we are in Christ, and a good way to do that is to understand the gospel, is to get a clear sense of the gospel, that we are righteous not because of our own good works, but righteous because of the works of Christ and what he did for us. It's not what we do for God, it's what he did for us, and we have that imputed righteousness of God. And then we preach the gospel to ourselves. We preach the gospel about it's not about us, it's about him, and that I'm righteous because of Christ, and that enables me, as I preach the gospel to myself, to live a righteous life through the power of God. And as I'm living that righteous life, I have that breastplate of righteousness applied firmly in my life. That's when I am victorious in spiritual battle, is when I have the righteousness of Christ. And we have that if you're a believer of Christ. A believer in Christ, you have it, but you apply it to your life when you have that imparted righteousness of Christ. And then you clothe yourself with that righteousness and live in that righteousness. And so we have Jesus, the advocate. He stands and speaks on our behalf, and he protects our heart with his righteousness. That's what that breastplate is. It's his righteousness. Now I want to add, this is not on your message notes. I added the Holy Spirit in here, and it is going to be on the screen. The Holy Spirit is the advisor who protects your heart by guiding you in righteousness. You see, it's not only Jesus at work in our life as our advocate, but it's also the Holy Spirit's work in our life as our advisor, because he is the one that convicts us of sin so that we can go to God and we can get forgiveness for sin. Listen, this is hugely important. You see, when there is an accusation made, we have to determine, is that Satan trying to discourage me, Or is that the Holy Spirit that's working as a convicting force in my life so that I go to God and so that I take care of it? We have conviction of sin from the Holy Spirit, but we have the accusation of our past from Satan. And the way that you can tell, and listen to this, this is really key, the way that you can tell these two things apart when you're feeling guilt in your life is, what does it cause you to do? You see, if there is an accusation, if Satan is accusing you and reminding you of your past, he's doing that to discourage you. He's doing that so that you'll give up. He's doing that to take you out of the battle, to make you ineffective for Christ. And so if that is the direction of that guilt that you're feeling in your life, that is Satan accusing you, and you don't have to be under the weight of that. You have the righteousness of Christ as a defense against that. But if you're feeling guilt in your life because of something that you're doing, and it causes you in humility to confess it to God and to repent of that sin and return to God so that you can be restored, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you see, we in spiritual battle, we have to discern what we're feeling and why we're feeling it. Are we being accused and trying to be taken out of the game, or are we being strengthened so that we can confess the sin that's in our life and that we can run to God to be forgiven of our sin so that we can win those spiritual battles? We have to be very careful to know the difference. Is it something that's discouraging us, wanting us to quit? Or is it something that says, look, you've done something wrong and you need to take that to God. You need to confess it. You need to repent. You need to return to God so that he can wipe that away. And listen, once it's wiped away, he removes that sin as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more. He blots out, repent therefore and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped off the board. And so if the accuser comes and reminds you of that sin that you've confessed and that you've dealt with, listen, that's Satan accusing you. And there's that phrase, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Right? Because he is a defeated foe that one day will be cast into the lake of fire. And we can remind him of that. And so if it's that negative, just bringing that sin up over and over again, that's the accuser. And you don't have to listen to that. But if there is a sin in your life currently that you've not given over to God, and God brings that and you feel guilt and you feel a heaviness about that, listen, that's the Holy Spirit acting to convict you. And that's not because he doesn't like you or he's condemning you. It's because of the great love of God. He loves us so much that he won't allow us to stay the way that we are. And so he convicts us and he works in our life so that we will feel that conviction and we'll bring that to God and we'll say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Help me not to live this way. Help me to get beyond this. Listen, there's a difference between the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit in our life convicting us of our sin and the accusations of our enemy. And so the Holy Spirit is the advisor. He is guiding us. He's advising us and showing us the way. And he's protecting our heart by guiding us to righteousness. And when we get off the path, that's when the Holy Spirit helps bring us back to where we need to be. One of the books that I've enjoyed reading over the years is Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by John Bunyan. And it's an allegory of a person journeying from the city of destruction to the city of God. And along the way, he has to leave the city of destruction. And along the way, he comes across a number of different people that try to discourage him along the way. And in this passage I'm going to read from this book, he's approached by Apollyon, and that is Satan in the book. And Satan doesn't want him to continue to the city of God because he is one of his. He was born in the city of destruction, and he's lost one of his, and he's trying to discourage him. And another reason that I'm bringing this up is I'm going to use the same book in another portion of our series. And so he's on the way to the city. He's approached by Apollyon, who heaps accusations on him. Listen to what Apollyon says. He's giving him the list of all of the things that he's done wrong on this journey. Okay? Y'all following me? I need y'all to come along on this journey, because I enjoy the book, but that's not what we're talking about. So we've got Christian that's making the journey from the city of destruction to the holy city. And as he's going along, he's approached by Satan, named Apollyon in the book, and Satan is going to accuse Christian of these different things to try to discourage him along the way. That's the same thing Satan does in our lives. So listen to what he says. Apollyon says to Christian, "You lost courage when you first set out and you fell into the swamp of despond. Then you tried to get rid of your burden in the wrong ways instead of waiting till your prince had taken care of it. You sinfully slept and lost your scroll. You were almost persuaded to go back at the sight of lions. And when you walk about your journey and what you have heard and seen, inward you are seeking your own glory in all that you say and do." So that's Apollyon's, that is his accusation for Christian as he's making this journey, right? And listen to what Christian says. And this is striking. All of this is true, and much more that you have left out. But the prince whom I serve and honor is merciful and ready to forgive. Can you imagine that? What an amazing statement that is, if you understand this journey. He says, all of these accusations that you're making and you're reminding me of all of these past things, it's all true. That's who I am. But listen, the prince that I serve, Christian says, is willing to forgive, and he's great in mercy. Listen, that's our story. That's us. We have the righteousness of Christ. And then it says, then Apollyon broke into, and besides, these failings possessed me in our country, and I have groaned under them, been sorry for them, and have attained pardon from my prince, and that's King Jesus. Then Apollyon broke into a terrible rage, saying, I am an enemy of the prince. I hate him and his laws and his people. I have come out on purpose to oppose you. And then Christian says, Apollyon, beware of what you do, for I am on the king's highway, the way of holiness. Therefore, take heed. I just love that. I love that passage of this book, because Christian, he's taking the fight back to the accuser. He says, now be careful what you do next. And we're gonna see what happens next in another message in this series later. And so we can, because of the righteousness of God in our life, because of the forgiveness of sin in our life, we can have the righteousness of Christ, and we can live in righteousness through the power that God gives us. The Holy Spirit is the advisor who protects your heart by guiding you in righteousness. And you know, it's really something what Satan does. I mentioned this before, that he is our tempter. He is our deceiver. And he says, did God really say that? Is there really consequences to that? Shouldn't you be happy? Shouldn't you go the way that you want to go? Certainly God wouldn't mind if you were happy or you did this thing. And so he tempts us. And then sometimes we bow to that temptation and we walk down the wrong paths and we sin. And then what does Satan do in our life? He accuses us. He tempts us to do the thing, but then he turns right around the second time and he says, you're not a very good Christian. You knew you shouldn't have done that. You must not be a follower of Christ, or God must not love you, because you've gone down this path and you knew that it was wrong. You see, Satan in spiritual warfare is relentless against us. He tempts us, and then when we fall into temptation, he accuses us. That's why we have to have the righteousness of Christ, and we have to apply it to our life so that we can live as forgiven and we can have that righteousness that protects our heart. Listen, it's something that God has done. Victory is possible because of the cross. And so look at number three there on your message notes. I will win spiritual battles when I live covered by the righteousness of Christ. I will win spiritual battles when I live covered, protected by the righteousness of Christ. You see, that's when we are living as forgiven people, sons and daughters of the King, joint heirs with Christ. That's who we are. And when we live in that righteousness, we are going to win those spiritual battles. But if we try to win those spiritual battles in our own righteousness, the things that we can do for ourselves or how good of a person we are, we're going to lose those every single time. So I will win spiritual battles when I live covered by the righteousness of Christ. And really, it's a matter of choosing moment by moment, day by day, how we're going to live and whether we're going to give these accusations over to God and whether we're going to confess our sin. Listen to this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians. It's on the bottom of your message notes. And it talks about taking each thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let me just pause right there. Listen, some of you in this room, Satan has a stronghold in your life. You've been tempted, you've let him in, and he's got a grip over a portion of your life. He's got a stronghold in your life. Listen, you don't have to live that way. That there is a solution. This passage talks about the truth demolishing the stronghold in your life. And so there is hope. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Listen, that is a key passage of scripture for us to consider as we think about Satan, our accuser, and we think about this breastplate of righteousness, that we can take every thought captive to be obedient to Christ. So when you're accused by Satan and he's reminding you of something you did years ago that you know you've dealt with God with and you're beyond, you take that thought and you make it obedient to Christ, and you remind yourself that you are a forgiven son or daughter of the King and that you don't have to live under the judgment and weight of that sin any longer. And then if there is something that comes up in your life and it's the Holy Spirit at work in your life convicting you of a sin, you take that sin captive, that thought captive, and you make it obedient to Christ, and you confess it, and you repent from it, and you're restored, and you're renewed, and you're living as a forgiven son or daughter of the King. And see, that's what we can do with these battles that at wage war in our hearts. We can take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. Listen, that's what we need to do. We need to live our lives as obedient children of the King. And I've got a few minutes, so I wanted to share many times as I'm preparing the messages in my daily quiet time, they'll sync together. And I don't always share these things, but I thought I would share this one. We're talking about this idea of taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And so one of the devotional guides I use is called Experiencing God Day by Day. It's by Henry Blackaby, and it kind of follows the principles of experiencing God. And on July 10th, the title was Bitterness. And it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble. And so that was, and the application of this was clear as I read this, was to get rid of any bitterness that I would have in my heart to anyone else. This is an example of what it means to take every thought captive, to give everything over to it being obedient to Christ. And so I started praying about people that I might have bitterness towards. And I started listing them, and I'm certainly not going to list them. Y'all wouldn't know them. But so I'm listing them. And something really struck me. I thought, when in the world did this list get so long? It was taking me quite a while to list every person that I might have bitterness towards so that I would give it to God and so that I would receive forgiveness and strength to not live a bitter life. And it was just this long list. And it just struck me, when when did all of that happen? And if I'm not giving that over to Christ to live in his righteousness, and if I'm not applying the righteousness that Christ gives us to that, then I'm going to live defeated and I'm going to lose the spiritual battle of bitterness. But if I will give that to him, and if I'll apply the righteousness of Christ to that and live in the righteousness of Christ, then I will have victory over that and take that thought of bitterness and give it to Christ, make it obedient to Christ. And listen, when it comes to bitterness, any person that I had on my fairly long list of people that I might have bitterness towards, listen, the bitterness that I would have in my heart towards them is not doing a single thing to them. I mean, many of them don't even know it was something that was said, and it was something that was done years ago. They've long forgot it, but I'm still holding on to it. So I've got to take those thoughts captive. I've got to apply the word of God and the truth of God's word to that, so that I'm making that thought captive and obedient to Christ. And listen, whatever stronghold that Satan has in your life, you can hold that thought captive and you can make it obedient to Christ as you apply the righteousness of God to your life. We mentioned that phrase, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, and that's certainly true. But this phrase is also true, the next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of who he's talking to. You're a child of God. You are forgiven. You are more than conquerors in him that made that first conquest on the cross. You are joint heirs with Christ. You have the righteousness of God as protection over your heart. You have the breastplate of righteousness in place, and you have the protection that you need to win these spiritual battles. And so this morning, we're going to spend a few moments contemplating what God is saying to us about righteousness, about possibly even bitterness. We're going to spend some time thinking about that sin that may have, how Satan may have a foothold in your life. And maybe this morning you're going to kick him out of that area of your life. You certainly can, because of the armor that God's given us, that breastplate of righteousness. And so we're going to remain seated, and Myron's going to play through our hymn of invitation. And if you have a decision that you'd like to make, I'm down here at the front for church membership or for whatever other spiritual decision, baptism, and other things. I'll be here. But y'all stay seated and just spend some time in prayer as we think about what God has said to us. Not what I've said or anything that I've done, but what he said to us through the scripture and through how he's spoken to our hearts. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And Father, we thank you that we are more than conquerors in your son Jesus. And Father, we pray for the breastplate of righteousness to be in each one of our lives, and that we could live as forgiven sons and daughters of the King, not for anything that we've done, but for what your son Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. So Father, be with us now, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray.